You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Hi, good morning. I've been up here. Hi. So this morning, I thought I'd mix it up a little bit, and I'm going to interview Miss Avery Cruz, or Cruise, which is technically her name. How about, I don't know, will we startle her if we clap for her?
I don't think so.
All right, can we clap?
Yay! You can clap.
Good. So Becca's also here in case Avery doesn't answer any of my questions. But I thought it'd be really helpful. So thank you so much, Becca and Avery. Thank you. And Zach, thank you for being crowd support down there. If you're watching online, you can't see him, but he's down in the pit throwing up snacks. So he's got a little pouch there, you know, like a seal, like it was a SeaWorld or something. Not that. Anyway. Okay. So, uh-oh. Did we leave that one there? Did we let it go? Let it go. It's gone. Okay. So I have some questions for you. We've talked about this ahead of time a little bit. First of all, how old is Avery?
Avery is 13 months.
13 months, mm-hmm. Which for those of you at home, that's a year and a month. I did that math in my head because a year is 12 months. So she's a year and a month old.
Yeah.
Right now, what are you feeding her?
Blueberries.
Okay. Yeah. So when, does she eat other solid food or you just feed her blueberries only?
A lot of blueberries, but she eats
a lot of blueberries. So there's probably some other issues that you have too. You go through diapers.
Yeah. We do.
Okay.
We do.
Okay. Yeah. So blueberries. What else does she eat?
She eats a lot of pasta. She really likes potatoes.
Okay.
Bread, strawberries, French fries.
Okay.
She eats some meat.
Okay. When did she have her first steak?
That's a good question. Right.
That's actually an answer. That was supposed to be a joke. All right. This is gonna work. So I guess my question was, what did she eat before solid food?
Breast milk.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. She ate milk. Why?
Because that's what her stomach could handle.
Okay.
And what she could swallow.
Okay. All right. And right now, how many teeth do you think she has in there?
Four.
Four teeth.
They're very sharp.
Very sharp. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. And there are more coming in right now, or are we in a low spot?
Hard to tell.
Okay. All right. And, of course, like, teeth are important, would you say? Yeah, in your professional opinion?
Yes.
So before she had solid food, she had milk because that's all she could handle. When did she start eating solid food?
Probably about 7-8 months, we started sitting her at the table with us and just kind of giving her food to play with. And sometimes she'd put it in her mouth. Sometimes she'd throw it on the floor, give it to the dog.
Okay.
And then probably closer to 10, 11, 12 months is when she really started eating solid food.
Okay. Now, you were feeding her. Does she feed herself?
She does.
She does?
But she would take this whole container and throw it on the floor.
Okay. And then just go down and get it from the floor?
Okay.
All right, depending on how much she likes it. If it's French fries, maybe. If it's steak, maybe.
If she beats the dog to it.
All right, now you're actually throwing food up here. Will she catch it in her mouth? So at this point, though, you still are feeding her actively. So, I mean, when do you plan? I mean, we have my oldest son, as you know, just graduated from high school. And so we've decided that it's time to stop feeding him probably soon. Kendra and I have been spoon feeding him. And it's been rough, yeah. His friends just kind of look at us weird. But seriously, how long do you plan on feeding her? You know, if everything goes according to plan.
I don't know, like 16 months if she can figure out how to use a utensil and
do it
herself. And
so 16 months, for those of you that are doing the math on that, is 1 year and 4 months? 4 months? 1 year and 4 months. So that's like 3 months from now.
Something like that.
But, I mean, you would foresee that, say, she's five, will you be feeding, you plan to be feeding her? No.
Don't plan on it.
And probably not when she's 16.
No.
Or 18, or anything like that. And just a very obvious question, why not? Why wouldn't you be feeding her when she's
that old? Because she's not a baby at that point, and she should be able to do it herself.
Okay, all right. And so she can feed herself. And I would assume that'll be a point here, too, where you could even say, and let me tell you, from an expert, you know, bringing four up, that there is a point where you don't even have to get the food. You can just say, it's in the fridge, figure it out yourself.
Love
and,
that.
And that's a nice place to be. Unless that's all they ever do, and then you're like, there isn't any food in the fridge because you've eaten it all, you stinking teenager. But that might not be your case there. But the idea of feeding themselves is really important. It's really helpful because they're old enough. So how did you know that it was time to switch from milk to solid food?
Well, she started to show an interest in regular food.
Okay.
At that point, she could also sit up on her own. She had really good head control, and she was putting things in her mouth, and she was kind of starting to develop those skills to be able to chew and swallow her food.
Yeah, and this might sound like a really well-informed mom, which she is, but she also, this is part of what you do in your job. So what is your official title?
I'm a speech-language pathologist.
There you go.
Yes.
For those of you playing at home, I have no idea what that means.
So there's a lot that I can do as a speech therapist. I say that I'm basically a hear-to-hear therapist. I can work on the brain, swallowing skills, which is why I know a lot about swallowing, and feeding development as well.
Okay, so that's great. So not only is she a good mom, but she's also an expert in this. And so would you say that in general, someone, let's say, again, 16, 18-year-old, should, for the most part, be feeding themselves? Would be
yes.
a good thing to do?
Yes.
Okay. All right, well, those were some very difficult questions, I realize, and Avery has been excellent. And so why don't we give it up for thank Avery and Becca
Yay.
For their help here this morning.
Yay. All right, here.
Want to clap? No, we'll just eat some blueberries. And the shocking amount of no blueberries in front of you, that's impressive.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so... Well, thank you guys very much. I appreciate it. And also, Nikki, thank you for covering because she's wearing her Ignition shirt because she's serving in the nursery right now. And your mic is still on, so just keep that in mind. All right. So obviously, I think most of everything that I said there, except for what her title is no-brainer. It's normal. Like, of course, when you're older, you there's a blueberry. I really like blueberries. So I'm not going to eat the crackers, though. They're really dry. I'll be like, oh, that's fine. Anyway, but some very, very basic questions because, yeah, most of us, we know that we start kids with milk, formula, whatever that looks like, depending on allergies. We had some allergies with some of our kids. And then eventually they move to basic things. You know, there's pureed food and you spoon feed them. And then more solid food like blueberries and crackers or whatever those old dog biscuits. Were you throwing dog biscuits at your daughter? Anyway, and then eventually you get to things like, you know, burgers and fries and steaks. And then you enjoy that because you eat it and it's good and you eat that more and more. And then you get to be in your mid-40s and you realize, wow, I enjoyed that too much. And you have to cut out all the red meats because of the heart problem. But anyway, that might not be your case. But that's kind of that's normal part of life. And for all of us to live that way, it would be totally expected. And so we're going to talk about that today as we wrap up on fire. Why is that light not on? Push the bottom row of lights on. Ah, fire. Fire! But we're going to be talking about this from a spiritual perspective. Because again, in normal physiology, in normal growth, we think, okay, yeah, it's time to move on. And you go from milk to the pureed food, to the solid food, and eventually get to the, you know, the full-on stuff that we get to eat. And the reason that happens isn't because there's like a clock that you're supposed to start or stop. There isn't a, there isn't like, oh, it's because this month of the year, it's time to do that. It's because you look at the child, and as they grow, you get to that spot. And as Becca said, you know, when they got to about, 8, 10 months, then started kind of switching. And then by the time Avery was around a year, my math is right, then they started really going to the solid food because she was old enough. And I want to talk about that from a spiritual perspective because I think a lot of times when it comes to our spiritual growth, when it comes to following Jesus, we somehow feel like it's okay to be an adult and to have someone spoon feed us. We feel like it's okay to be older and still drinking milk and not moving on beyond that. And there was this trend back in like the early 2000s. I don't know if you remember this. It was trendy to carry a pacifier around in your mouth. And I don't understand that. But because why? You look at that person, you're like, no, they're an adult. Why would they do that? They're mature. They don't need to be using a pacifier. And so what I want to talk about this morning as we wrap it up, because it's going to bring all this together, is that and we're looking at this idea of being on fire for Jesus, not just saying that we love Jesus, not just saying that we follow him, but actually really being on fire for him. And the point this week is that someone who is on fire doesn't look to be fed. And I got to tell you, over my years, I've been in full-time ministry probably 25 some years, but even before that, I have had conversations with so many different people that would say something like, yeah, I left that church. Oh, really? Why? Well, because I wasn't being fed. And that is a very, again, if you grew up in church, that's probably a conversation you have heard. You might have had that conversation with someone, and it sounds so normal and it sounds so spiritual. I wasn't being fed, so I had to go somewhere else. But if you would stop that whole thing and change it to actually eating, and say, yeah, so why did you move out? Well, my parents weren't feeding me, so I had to go somewhere else. What? You think that's their job? You're 22. Like, what? And again, we wouldn't make that connection. We would say, what are you talking about? But somehow in spiritual terms, that's okay. And again, maybe you've never heard this. Maybe you're newer to following Jesus. And that's okay, because this series really isn't for you. If you learn something, if you gain something, that is great. But I'm really talking to the people that have been following Jesus and saying some things that need to be said to all of us as we grow in Jesus. But so the point is, someone doesn't look to be fed. They grow on their own. That's what it means to be on fire, to say, I'm going to grow on my own. That's what it should be. And it shouldn't be you counting on me to grow you. And it shouldn't be you counting on your prime group leader to grow you. It shouldn't even be you, on some level, counting on your parents to grow you in your relationship with Jesus. Now, parents have a responsibility to do that. We've talked about that. That's a big part of who we are as a church. But if you're going, it's their job to do that, you're counting on them, then you've really missed it. And so we're going to be looking, if you didn't get the YouVersion notes, I'm kind of doing things weird today. I'm reading the passage almost out of order. And so if you have the YouVersion notes, it'll be a little bit easier to follow along. So again, you can scan that QR code. We're going to take a pause from YouVersion this summer as we start our Wise Up Again series. The elders and I will be teaching that, and Chris, over the next 2 months. But then we'll come back to these again in September. But anyway, the idea of being on fire for Jesus, we're going to be looking at this passage that that Ange read from Hebrews chapter 5. And so we're going to turn on the house lights there, top row. And if you have a paper Bible, you can open there. Obviously, the YouVersion notes are there in front of you, and all the passages are there. But I want to look at this passage. And in this passage, the writer of Hebrews, which we don't know who wrote this book, most of the letters in the New Testament say, by Paul, by John, from Peter. But this one doesn't say it, so we don't know exactly who wrote this letter. But it was written to Jewish Christians, because there were people in the church that were Jewish, and they used to be Jewish, and then became followers of Jesus, which was a total transformation. And so this letter was written to the Hebrews, but as the followers of Jesus, to tell them some important things about Jesus. And in this particular part, the writer of Hebrews is talking about the issue and the difference between milk or meat. Milk or meat. Baby food, solid food. And in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, the author starts with this. We've got a problem. Go back one slide for me. Sorry. We've got a problem. There's a problem. And the issue here, just so you know, before we read this, is that the writer of Hebrews was explaining some very deep truths about Jesus, very complicated things to understand. Not they were very important, but they were good to know, but it wasn't kind of going through. And that was the whole point, that he had that kind of pause here in verse 11, after going through the first five chapters of this letter, because it was a letter, and said, we've got a problem. And verse 11 says this. He says, there's so much more that we would like to say about this, it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. Like, he's saying some harsh words here. Can you back me down just a hair? I'm still getting a little of that. Saying some harsh words here. Like, guys, I want to talk to you about stuff, but I can't, because you're kind of dull. You don't seem to get it. You're not listening. You're not paying attention. And said, we need to fix it. And this stuff is too important for you to ignore. It's too important to go like, oh, that's complicated. I won't get that. That's deep stuff. And I'm not a Bible scholar, so I'm not going to pay attention to that. I can't understand the book of Revelation, so I'm not even going to read it. Like, to kind of get to the idea of saying, well, I don't get it, so it doesn't matter. I'm just not listening anymore. And the author of Hebrews is like, puts on the brakes there. That's what the sound of brakes were. And says, wait a second, guys. We need to talk. This is important stuff. And you seem to not be paying attention. You seem to not be getting it. And so he talks about this problem and then breaks it down into two categories. He says, this is, first of all, how you should be as followers of Jesus. And then talks about, but you are, how you are. He says, you should be this, but you are that. And again, I'm going to be going all in these weird circles in the passage because the writer kind of keeps flipping these two things back and forth. But it should make sense as we go through. The first thing that he says that you should be is teaching. He says you should be teaching in verse 12. The first part of it, and I'm breaking verse 12 into four parts. The first part, he says, you have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. And I just want to pause, and this was written in Greek. That's the language that they spoke. That's the language they wrote. And the word so long now, other translations for by this time is what they say. The Greek word is a word you've probably heard before. It's chronos, C-H-R-O-N-O-S. And you probably have heard the word chronology, which would refer to a timeline. Or maybe you've heard of a fancy word for a watch is a chronograph. It measures time. And that's what this word means, is that you have been believers for a set amount of time. And that's going to matter here, because what he's saying here are a couple of important things. He says, you have been following Christ long enough that you should be teaching others now. And I want to clarify that phrase, teaching others. It doesn't say you should be a teacher. It doesn't say you should have the title that is teacher, that has, you know, Ed D, Doctor of Education after your name, or DD, no, that's a dentist. Whatever teachers have, like, you shouldn't have to be, you know, Mr. Smith or Mrs. Jones, or like, you don't have to be an official teacher. He says you should be teaching others. So he's explaining that as a follower of Jesus, by this point, you should be teaching others. And that, again, doesn't mean you're in an official role of teacher, but you should be passing on what you know. You should be saying, hey, son, let me show you what I've learned about Jesus. Hey, friend, look at what happened in my life and how God came through. Nothing super complicated. He just says you should be teaching others. That's the first thing to know. The second thing is that this, The second thing we want to see there is this idea of chronos, of so long now. It doesn't say that because you have the right personality. It doesn't say because you're an outgoing person, by this point you should be teaching others. It doesn't say because this is your gift, you should be a teacher. It doesn't say, you know, just because you feel like it, you should be a teacher. The only parameter here was about the longevity of their faith. It doesn't have anything to do with how much they know. He says, because you have been following Christ, and let me throw a number out there, because you have been following Christ for at least 3 years now, you should be teaching. You should be teaching other people. And that's important, because it's easy for us to blow this off going, well, I don't know enough, so I don't need to be a teacher. It's easy to blow it off and say, well, that's not my title, so it doesn't matter. Or to say, well, that's not really my personality, or that's not my style, or that's not my gift. That is not what this says. This says, if you've been following Jesus for this long, by now, you should be teaching others. And I will say, for most of us in this room, and I'm just making a number. He didn't say 3 years. I just picked that. If we want to do it like Avery, should it be 13 months? 14, 15 months. By this point, instead of drinking milk, you should be teaching others. And that's important to get, because as we're going to go into this, it's easy to blow it off and be like, well, that's not my gift. That's not my title. I don't know that much. But that is not what the author of Hebrews is saying. He's like, you know Jesus, you've known him. You should be teaching other people. You should be passing on what you know. And again, it's not, all right, let's sit down in this classroom setting and bring up a blackboard or a smart board or whatever boards they are these days. He's just saying, like, pass on what you know. Why? Well, because you've been following Jesus. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. And so he says you should be teaching. And I guess that would be my question. How many of you would the author call out and say, you know what? Guys, by this time, you've been following Jesus long enough. You should be teaching others. And the excuse isn't about any of these other things. It's literally about time. And you could say, well, I've only been following Jesus for 30 years. I don't think that's what he had in mind. And I dare say it was probably more than 5 years. I think those are numbers. Like, hey, you've been following Jesus for maybe it's a year. I don't know. But I think the question is, have you been following Jesus long enough that the author would say, you know what, by now, you're supposed to be passing on what you know. You should be helping others. You should be guiding them along. You should be coming alongside of them. You should be hand-holding them. He says, that's what you should be, but you are taught. He says, instead of teaching, you're taught. You need to be taught, is what he says. And if we're from Mifflin County, we'll just say, you need taught. We just leave out to be. You need taught. You need... that ain't proper English, Justin. But he goes on. This is what he says in the second part of the verse. He says, you've been a believer so long, you ought to be teaching others. But instead, you need someone to teach you. And then he says the basic things about God's word. And this is actually, this basic things is two words that are here in the original Greek. And again, I'm not trying to confuse you. But he's not just saying, you know, some of the more complicated things. He's explaining the basic things. And it's two words. One means the basic elements and the starting point things. So he's like, guys, you should be teaching others. You should be communicating. You should be helping others with their grammar. You should be helping others with their grammar. But instead, someone has to teach you what the letter A is. Let's not even get to B yet. You don't even know your letters. He says, that's what you're supposed to be doing by this point. But instead, you have to be taught. And this isn't a good thing. He says, by this point, you are still being taught. And what had happened is that the church had become content. The Hebrew church that the author was writing had become content with, I don't need to feed myself. The leaders are going to feed me. The pastors are going to feed me. Someone else is going to feed me. But the author says that this is wrong. You get that? This is wrong. We shouldn't be depending on others to feed us. And I guess the question, I got a couple questions for us to think about. What about you? Do you depend on others to teach you? And again, there's nothing wrong with being taught, like, hey, let's look at let's dive deep into what in the world is going on in Revelation chapter 20. What does the word millennium? Yeah, obviously there's people, there are brilliant people that know a whole lot, and we want to learn from them. One of the things I did for the elders this past week as they're preparing their Proverbs to teach is I sent them passages from commentaries, scans from commentaries. What is a commentary? It's a wise person that knows stuff. So it's not saying that. He's just saying these elementary things, these basic things. I want to tell you what that word means in Greek, and you don't even know what it means. You don't even know how to speak English. And so he says, do you depend on others to teach you? Do you make excuses by saying things like, well, I'm not a teacher. Well, I'm not a pastor. And I know some of you are, like, people say, make this statement to me, and I know you mean it in an honorable way. I really do. But people will talk to me and say, well, but I'm not a pastor like you. But here's what I was thinking. And I appreciate that, because you're like, I don't want to sound like an idiot in front of the pastor, because he knows everything. Whatever. He does not. But just even that mindset to say, well, I'm not a pastor, so therefore I can't. That's just an excuse. Or, I'm not an elder, Well, I don't know everything, so therefore I can't be passing along what I know. You don't know everything. You won't know everything. And there's so many things that you don't know about, and you still teach other people how to do it. I mean, and I can tell you, by all the vehicle issues that I had, I can teach my kids how to drive. I have no idea how a car really works. I know fuel goes in the one spot, and if it's leaking things underneath, that's bad. I know there's explosions involved, and no fuel, it doesn't go. Batteries are important. Tires are important. But, like, I could not tell you how that whole thing works. And so if I'm like, sorry, Tommy, you're on your own, man. I don't know how this whole thing works, so I can't help you learn how to drive. We wouldn't do that. And that's what the author of Hebrews is saying. Like, don't make that your excuse. Or, I'm not a Bible scholar. You know, I would say most Bible scholars would tell you, I don't know everything either. But it's what you do know. The author does not give any latitude for that. There's no room. There's no room for excuses. It's a matter of how long you have been following Jesus. Or another question is, maybe you look into God's word, and if you don't know the answers, you look deeper to find the answers. Like, okay, we're moving somewhere. That's growing on your own. Or do you just go, oh, well, I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. So I guess I'm not going to read that again. Like, that's not feeding yourself. That's expecting someone else to teach you. And I will say that we did a two series. It's elementary and it's still elementary, which is exactly the same series, on how to study the Bible. And it's not as complicated as we think it is. There's a lot of things that you can do that I can do very simply. And so I would encourage you to check that out. But he's saying this is why there's a problem. That's why in verse 11 he's like, there is a problem here because people, you guys are just, you're just blowing things off and ignoring it because like, oh, it's too complicated or I can't do it. You have to teach me. So he says, you know, you should be teaching, but instead you are taught. And then he goes on and says, you should be eating meat. And now he's making this illustration, kind of bringing it into the level of what we were just talking about with Avery. He says, you should be eating meat in verse part D. Now we're going out of order just to confuse you a little bit. He says, all those things, you should have been teaching others, instead you need someone to teach you. He says, you're like babies who cannot eat solid food. He's like, church, in the Hebrew church, you guys, you're like babies who can't eat solid food. And again, to look around and see all of you like sucking on a bottle or a little pacifier in your mouth, like you, it'd be weird. I mean, some of you are newer to MC3, and if you came in here and saw all of us doing that, you would probably not make it much further than going back out. You have to go to the bathroom, but your bathroom would be in your house, you know. Like, excuse me, I need to use the restroom. That was your car peeling out in the parking lot and taking off. Then there was boom. That was you hitting the new parking barriers that we have out there as you peel out in the parking lot. But like, you would, that'd be so weird. And that's what Paul, the writer, it's not Paul, the writer, it could have been Paul, says, you're like babies who can't eat solid food. He's like, this is a problem. You should be eating meat. And then he goes on, he says, but you are, should be eating meat, but you are drinking milk. And that's the first middle part of verse 12 where he says this. You are like babies who need milk. And so he's looking at this church like, there's important things here, guys. And you're kind of going like, well, I need someone to feed me. And, oh, I'm not going to go to that church anymore because I'm not being fed. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, look, look, look. Don't be a baby. Feed yourself. This is what you should be doing. You should be feeding yourself. You're like babies who need milk, not solid food. And then he goes on again and says at this point, and maybe I'm going, let's see, which one's that? Yeah, you should be. There we go. You should be eating milk instead you are drinking, or sorry, eating meat instead you are drinking milk. Then he says, you should be mature, or mature. I don't know how you pronounce it. Mature. M-A-C-H-U-U-R. You should be mature. You should be mature. And that's the question. Like, he says, you're supposed to be mature. And he explains, which is very obvious. He says, solid food is for those who are mature. Solid food is for those who are mature. And listen to what he says here. It's not just a statement like, yeah, if you're on solid food, you're mature. He says, what does that look like from a spiritual perspective? Who, through training, have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. So what is maturity? The author of Hebrews says maturity is someone that trains themselves to know what is right and wrong. It's that they train themselves. It's not someone that goes to the right church to find the right person, or that they read that thing so that, you know, they listen to that audiobook so that they'll learn more about the Bible. And those things are not bad. Please don't mishear me. But it's saying, I'm going to grow on my own. That's what a mature person does, a mature person. And not only just trains them, and it's not about knowledge. He doesn't say trains them so that they know everything, and so they can understand all those complicated, stupid Greek words that Sean throws out, so that they can absolutely tell you what Daniel and Revelation mean and how they fit together perfectly, so that they love reading Isaiah, the entire thing, and they read it over and over and over for fun. That's not what he's saying. It's not about knowledge. Someone who's mature has trained themselves to recognize the difference between right and wrong. It's not knowledge. The goal of maturity is not knowledge, it's obedience. And so the author is saying, if you're someone who's on fire for Jesus, if you're following Jesus, you shouldn't have to have someone feed you milk. You should be training yourself and learning what's right and what's wrong and how to be more obedient to Jesus. That's what maturity looks like. And that's what you should be. And again, he says, by this time, you should be mature. He says, because otherwise you're babies. Just to clarify, he says, for someone, in verse 13, for someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. You see, I just went out of order. Doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature. So, what is it? He just calls them a bunch of babies. Like, he's not being very kind. Like, this is important stuff, people, he says. Don't be a baby. Don't be a lazy eater. Don't let someone feed you. And let me just be clear. Part of the issue with us is that it's easier to be a lazy eater. Dude, I mean, you probably have seen, like, the old, as a Greek or the Roman, like, images where they have someone laying on a couch and they're feeding them, someone else is feeding them grapes. That'd be nice. Maybe you've seen, you know, someone else is fanning you. Oh, that's great. Maybe you've seen pictures of, I don't know, people in Oaxaca and John is there with massages or giving them massages. If you haven't seen those pictures, you will. 21st of September, be here for that. I'm a lazy eater. It is one of the reasons why I don't like chicken on the cob. Now, chicken on the cob is a term that I believe was Aletheia that came up with, because, you know, you have corn on the cob, which is the corn is still attached to the cob. And chicken on the cob, of course, is chicken that's still attached to the bone. I don't like chicken on the cob because it's so much work. I am not kidding you. I don't mind the taste. I just don't like working around the bones and the fat and the ligaments. Like, give me chicken tenders. Give me chicken nuggets. Give me chicken patties. Whatever. Shredded chicken. Pulled chicken. Anything. Just don't give me the bone that I have to work. And I'm not just being like, oh, hey, saying those things to sound cool. No, I'm such a lazy eater. Like, if there is a salad that has a dressing, and I don't like the dressing, but it's pre-dressed, versus a salad and the dressings that are next to it that I do like, I will go with the pre-dressed salad because it's easier. I just don't want to have to work. And so it's easy to be lazy. Don't miss that. But that's not a good enough excuse when it comes to our spiritual lives. That we need to do the work to be mature. Otherwise, we're just babies. So the question is, where do you land in that milk or meat question? Which side of this are you on? By now, after following Jesus as long as you have been, are you mature, eating meat, feeding yourself? And mature, again, doesn't mean you know it all. It means you're working to grow closer to Jesus and being obedient. Or are you babies? They're just drinking milk and letting someone else feed you. That is the distinction between someone who is on fire and someone who isn't. Because someone on fire doesn't look to be fed. They grow on their own. And honestly, the church, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, but the church is meant to be, like, we're the body of Christ. We all have parts and we all serve. And my role up here is to do what I'm doing. There is no question. And we have elders that get together, and these are godly men that do know the Bible, because that's important, and the Bible talks about that being a standard. Why? Because we use the Bible to evaluate our decisions and why we do what we do. And those are important. We need those men to be leading us.
But it doesn't mean that everyone else doesn't have to know anything. Because, and maybe you're not up here. Maybe you're not going to be teaching on this stage. Maybe you are. He knows who I'm looking at. If you're not on the stage, doesn't mean that you're not important. Maybe you're like, well, I'm not even an Ignition teacher. No. You know what you are? Maybe you're a parent. Maybe you're an aunt or an uncle or a grandparent. Maybe you're a friend. And there is someone near you that you have something to offer. Not because you know it all, but because by this moment, by this time, by now, by Kronos, you ought to be passing along what you're doing. But instead, you're content to sit and suck on your pacifier. And in the darkness, you might not have seen, but on almost all of your chairs, there are these wonderful choking hazards, these little mini pacifiers, as a reminder for you to have, to go, hey, what am I growing on my own? Am I looking to be fed? And that's one of the cool things about Prime Group. I mean, I lead a Prime Group. This cycle, I'm leading one. I haven't always led one. And let me tell you, as the pastor, I have learned so much through the discussions that we've had in Prime Group from each of you, from other people. And that's the way it's supposed to be. But that doesn't mean we don't grow. It doesn't mean we don't have the opportunity. We don't try to feed ourselves. So you get that? I hope I'm not like... He's talking to the church in the Hebrew church, the early church that were Jewish people. And so... You know, I'm not here beating you all up. I'm just saying, if we're on fire, we need to look at ourselves and say, am I? And that's the question we've been asking every week of this series. Am I on fire? Am I on fire? I can't answer it for you. I can only answer it for me. And I'm not, I want you to be on fire. And as I said, the week one of this series, if this is offensive and you're like, that church is calling for too much commitment, they wanted me to be too much like Jesus, I'm out. I'm going to go somewhere else where I can be fed. Fine. Go. Because I know that God can do incredible things with people that are passionately on fire for Him. And that's what He wants. He doesn't want us playing church. He wants us on fire. So the question for us is, and for you and me to answer, and I'm not answering it for you, is am I on fire for growth? And here's a passage that Paul, this is actually, he wrote to the church in Corinth, and he wanted to talk to them about some deep things. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, he says this. He says, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit. He said, I want to talk to you about solid Christ followers. He says, but I couldn't. But instead, I had to talk to you as people that are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. He says, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. Those are some harsh words that Paul gave to the church at Corinth. Guys, I want to tell you important things. I want to show you how to grow more like Jesus. But you know what? You weren't interested. It's just babies. I couldn't even give you what you needed because you weren't ready for it. And I think that's the question we need to say. Okay, would Paul say that to me? Would Paul say, I want to tell you more about following Jesus? Not about knowledge, but about obedience. And what do you say? I can't do that. I just have to give you milk because you're not ready for it. So that's the setup passage to answer these questions. Am I on fire for growth? Because someone on fire doesn't just follow Jesus. They make Him the most important. Someone who's on fire doesn't just follow Jesus, they make Him the most important. And when they have all the things in their life, the big rocks, the little rocks, the gravel, the sand, they say, yeah, Jesus, He is the most important. So He goes in first. He is the first thing that goes into my life, that goes into my day. And everything else can fit around that. That's what someone on fire for Jesus looks like. They make Him the most important. They have room for the big rocks. And in Matthew chapter 13, we looked at this passage on week one. And it said that there's a parable. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Jesus says, following me is so important that when you realize how big of a deal it is, you'll give up everything else for the sake of me. And that's what He has called us to do. So someone on fire doesn't just follow Jesus to make him the most important. And the question is, what does it look like for you and for me on our own? Is that you don't rely on someone else to make Jesus your priority. Don't wait for someone else to tell you that. Don't wait till it fits. You make the changes. If you're on fire for growth, if you want to feed yourself, you say, hey, and maybe this is hard. Maybe this is to your boss. Hey, sir, ma'am, I appreciate my employment, but I need to make some changes because it's affecting my ability to connect with the body of Christ. Because it's affecting my ability to be at home with my kids. Maybe you say to your parents, mom and dad, I know this is weird, but I need you to stop, you know, expecting me to do my chores in the morning. I don't have to do any job. I want to follow Jesus. No. I want to make a change. Can I do my chores a little bit later because I want to start my day by reading my Bible? And you're the ones that are making that change. Don't wait for someone else to do it. If you're on fire for growth, if you want to feed yourselves, then that's what this looks like when you make Jesus the most important. The second thing is someone on fire doesn't just read the Bible. They delight in it. And again, just reading through a YouVersion plan, check, I did it. Maybe you open your Bible on Sunday. Maybe you open the YouVersion notes. You scan the QR and say, I am good. No, it should be way more than that, saying, I have the privilege of reading a love letter from God written to me. And that week we talked about the letters from my kids and my wife and how we treasure those moments. And we read them over and over again. And when you were dating, you know, you'd even be like, oh, it smells like her. You know, like, because you love that. And that's how we should look at the Word of God, the Bible. We should delight in it. And this is the passage we looked from Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. It says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. Is our delight in the Word of God, or is it this thing we have to do because pastor says we should, or if I don't open the passage in Prime Group, people are going to look at me weird and be like, why aren't you opening your Bible? Delight in the law of the Lord. And so what does that look like to be on fire for growth, to be the person that makes the decisions in their own life? Is that you take the time not just to read, but to study the Bible. Like, don't just read it. If you read something and you go, I don't know what that means, take a moment. And honestly, sometimes if you read a few verses earlier and a few verses later, you're like, oh, that's what that means. But we're so quick to just read and check it off that we don't grow on our own through it. And that's what that looks like. And again, it's elementary. You can find that on our website. It's some great, great resources, simple resources to grow in the Bible. The third thing is someone on fire doesn't just know Jesus. They can't stop telling others about him. And this was the Craig Rochelle video that you watched while we were in Oaxaca on our MC3 missions team. And this idea here was, you know, are you willing to not just say, yeah, I know Jesus, but let me tell you about him. Let me tell you how he's changed my life. Let me tell you what he's done for me. And I know I'm not perfect and I'm never going to be, but let me tell you how he rescued me from my sin. And I know things aren't always easy, but let me tell you how Jesus is always with me. Like, just that, there is something about Jesus. And if you just know him and you hold him in, you don't really care about him. You just want to get out of jail, get out of hell free card. But if you're on fire, man, you can't stop telling people. It doesn't mean you're obnoxious. It doesn't mean you're knocking on door to door and be like, do you know you're going to hell? Like, it's true, but probably not the best way to do it. And this is the passage that Craig taught that day. It says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. And that idea of praying. And so what does this look like on a personal? I'm not waiting for someone to feed me. Don't wait for those moments where we're like, hey guys, Easter's coming up. Hashtag MC3 for Easter. Invite your friends, which is true. And we are very on purpose about that because a lot of people that will never go to church just kind of because they go on Easter. It happens around Christmas time too. But don't wait for that. Just invite. Hey, you want to see something? Let me tell you about Jesus. Hey, check out my church. No strings attached. No one's going to be doing weird things. They're not going to be sucking on pacifiers or bottles when you come in. And they'll be like, what does that mean? Don't know. You have to come and find out. But that's what it looks like. Say, I'm going to be fed on my own. I'm going to feed myself. I'm going to tell people. I'm not going to wait for those moments. I'm going to invite them. The next thing was someone on fire doesn't attend church. You don't just show up, check off, done. Get in here at 10:05. Get out of here as soon as I say you're dismissed. No, you crave connection. This is the body of Christ. You crave serving. You desire to serve because there are needs here. And so you desire that, not just showing up and check the box. And in Romans 12, Paul says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. And we talked about giving everything you have to serve, not just kind of going off. We talked about Forky, who said that he was trash. I'm trash, I don't matter, I'm trash, I don't matter. And you think that about yourself sometimes when it comes to serving in church. I don't matter, my part doesn't matter. It absolutely does. We need all of you. And if you're attending church and then leaving and not serving, you're robbing me. You're robbing your brothers and sisters because God has given you gifts to use. And when you don't use it, you're robbing us and you're robbing God. You're not trash. You need to be serving. And serve enthusiastically. You represent the King of the universe. And I can tell you there are a lot of needs around here. And there's going to be a lot more because we've got an incredible student ministry that serves. And they're graduating. We got three of our band members are leaving. They're going to be gone in September. We've got next year... Dude, it's going to be crickets in here. What are we graduating? 8, 9 students, and most of them are serving in multiple roles. There are needs here, and you can fit. And you're like, oh, I'm not a scholar. You know what? The writer of Hebrews says, I don't care if you're a scholar. You've been following Jesus long enough, you need to be serving. So what does that look like? It's not waiting for someone to ask you to serve. It's looking for the needs and saying, hey, how can I help? We're going, hey, that's something I might like to do. Go ask. If you're interested in helping with MC3 student, Zach, right there. If you're interested in helping with First Impressions, Mackenzie's right there. She was up front. If you want to help make these backdrops, I know they're going to need help with that. You can talk to Christina right there. If you want to help with the media team, you can talk to Amy back there in the sound booth. If you want to interested in the band, you can talk to Kendra right here. If you want to interested in MC3 family, you can talk to Nikki or Miranda, who's in the back hiding from being on the grill. Did I cover everything? What else do we have? You're interested in helping with grounds, there's Drew right there. You can help him with the property. There's opportunities. Don't wait for someone to ask you. Go to them. Going on, someone on fire doesn't just say prayers. They have a conversation with their dad. And again, we talked that week about the Wizard of Oz, if you remember. And how often we look at the prayer and going to God as the wizard and the almighty, all-powerful, and he is, but scary, and who are we? And we are nothing compared to him. But at the same time, God says, no, you can call me Father. I'm your dad. And maybe we need to approach him more like the man behind the curtain than the great and powerful Oz. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says this, when you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words and again and again. He says instead, pray like this, our Father, it's your dad. He cares about you. Just talk to him. And what does that look like if you're growing on your own? You're not waiting for Sunday morning when someone up front prays for you. Oh, I prayed. You're seeking to pray on your own. You're just going to God and saying, God, this is rough right now. Or, hey, I have a big thing coming up. Or, this is a great day. Thank you. You do that on your own. The next thing we talked about was someone on fire doesn't just make money. They invest in eternity. And we talked about the Monopoly money. Now, what if you spent your life earning this and you go to spend it and they're like, no, that's just paper. It's Monopoly money. It's worthless. It has no value. And you spent your entire life doing that. And if we do the same thing with our money, we're missing out on eternity. And that's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. He says, but store up yourselves treasures in heaven. That's where the real value is. Where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And so what does it look like to grow on your own in this area? You're not waiting for Project 1233 to come around again, which, by the way, will still take money. The budget year is ending this month. So if you haven't turned in your money, you can. And what does that mean? You're like, if you're a guest, don't freak out about that. But you're not waiting till the next missions trip. You're not waiting for another 10 for 10 challenge. No, if there's an opportunity in front of you, you need to give, give. If you're not giving regularly, you need to start. And again, we talked about that Sunday. And then last week we looked at someone on fire doesn't just sing songs, but they pour out their heart. And we talked about the difference between an Amazon review and a funeral eulogy and how people will show up and be like, yeah, I like those songs. I'll give you 3 stars. God gets that. Maybe good. Check. Done. versus a eulogy where you know the person and you care about them and you share all the wonderful things. And that's what worship should be, pouring out our heart to God. And in Psalm 42 that we looked at last week, the author writes, as the deer longs for streams of living water. And if you were in prime groups this week, it might be as the squirrel longs for streams of living water, or as the dog longs for streams of living water. I think we had a turtle longing for streams of living water. If you don't know what that means, you should check out prime groups, although this is the last week, so you'll have to wait till next fall. But he says, as the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. Where can I go? When can I go and stand before him? And worship isn't just singing songs. It's pouring out your heart to God, saying, God, I desire you. I thirst for you. I long for you. Where can I go to worship you? And again, as we talked about it, as we said this very intentionally last week, what does it look like to grow on your own in this area? You don't just worship on Sunday mornings. You worship on your own throughout the week. Maybe that's in your car. Maybe that's in your house. Maybe that's singing songs. Maybe that's not. But it's pouring out your heart to God. And then finally, someone on fire doesn't look to be fed. They grow on their own. They grow on their own. And again, we already looked at it, but let's just do it again. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. And that's why, again, this pacifiers, and actually if you don't have one, look around, make sure they're not on the floor so some of the actual babies don't take the pacifiers and choke on them. But just a reminder, put it somewhere, like not because I think you're a baby or because you think you're a baby, but just a reminder, say, no, it's my job to feed myself, to grow on my own. And on your chairs, you have these again. Now, we gave these out the first week of the series as a prayer card to be reminding and praying for what God will do throughout this series. But now I'd like you to take it as a reminder and say, this is what it looks like. A fancy word for these eight things would be spiritual disciplines. That's a church word for it. But what does it look like to be on fire for Jesus? These are the eight things. And so take that as a reminder. Say, am I really feeding myself? Am I on fire for Jesus? Because someone on fire doesn't look to be fed. They grow on their own. And so, would you please stand? And we're going to sing this song one more time. If more of you means less of me, then Jesus, take everything. If that's really your prayer, to pray to God that you would give him everything, that you would be on fire for Jesus, sing out, sing with all you've got, and ask God to make you more like him. You guys can turn off the lights. Let's worship. Pray with me. Father, if we live that way, it would change our lives. It would change every way we see things, the good and the bad. It would change how other people see us. It would change our perspective. It would change the way we serve. It would change the way we give. It would change the way we worship. God, it would change everything. And so I pray that as we just sang that song, that it would be a prayer from our hearts. And that, God, you would do what only you can do. To make us on fire for Jesus. Because, God, not only is it going to change us, it's going to change the world if we were on fire for you. And I pray, God, for these last 8 weeks and all the things we've looked at, that this isn't a guilt trip. This isn't something we walk away and forget. That this is something that changes us to be more like you. To be more like Jesus. And so, God, whatever it is over these last 8 weeks that we need to give up, that we need to surrender, God, take it. And if it means taking everything, take it. So that we can be people that aren't just saying we're on fire. That don't just say that we follow Jesus. But that fire is shown from within. Our fire for you. God, we pray that you would change us from the inside out. In Jesus' name we pray.